This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Bonnie North. After former Governor Scott Walker was elected in 2010, Milwaukee County was left without an executive. At the time, Chris Abele was a local philanthropist whose work had led him to a greater understanding of the budget shortfalls facing the county, and he thought he could help. He ran, he was elected, and for nearly a decade, Abele has served as the Milwaukee County executive. Now he's leaving the position, but he's not necessarily leaving politics. Abele sat down with Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about his tenure as the county executive, his future in politics, and why he was first drawn to this work. The conversation has been condensed for air, but the full version is available online.
County exec appealed to me more than mayor or other positions, in particular because counties are responsible in general for social services. We do a lot of things that aren't as visible, perhaps, to a lot of people who live here. But counties everywhere are where mental health services provided, disability services, child support service, transit, the bus system. We're sort of the back office of the criminal justice system. So if police are at cities, district attorneys, public defenders, courts, sentencing programs, all the way alternative treatment programs, rehab, job training, and if you have to, incarceration are all at counties, among other things. And broadly, though, if you want to have an impact on the ability to uplift and empower as many of the underserved population as you can, counties are, in my opinion, the best place to do it. And that's what drew me to it. And so that's what I've spent most of the 9 years since working on.
Well, and as you mentioned, part of what inspired you to run and really look into this position was, in some ways, a lack of funding. And this has been a persistent issue for the county. We're not just talking about the last decade. We're talking about the last few decades, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. At the time I was elected, the Policy Forum had just put out a report on Milwaukee County, I think it was 2010, about their fiscal condition. And the subtitle of the report was, "Should it stay or should it go?" And literally saying that the fiscal problem is so dire that there's a serious and very real question about, can the county, you know, be a sustainable entity? And what's behind that? Two major reasons. One, and this is something I've been talking about a lot lately, the level of support we get or don't get from the state versus what we send to the state. And two, essentially legacy costs. So expensive commitments that administrations long before I got there made and that were beyond what we could afford. So when our revenue every year goes up by maybe $2 or $3 million, our costs every year go up by 25 or more, and it's growing. And as I always say, you know, you don't need to be an economist to know that's just not sustainable. And I knew that to some degree when I got elected the first time. The extent of it, though, I think was a little beyond what I realized. In the last 10 years, your listeners who live in Milwaukee County, all of us, we have increased what we send to the state by about $500 million. So we're sending to the state about $500 million more than we were just 10 years ago. And that doesn't mean we're sending them $500 million. It's $500 million more since, I mean, it's billions that we send. And what we get back from the state has been flat and in some cases even decreased. So as an example, the county runs the transit system. We get less from the state for providing bus service than we did at the end of the Doyle administration, which was, you know, now quite some time ago, 16 years ago. And needless to say, things haven't gotten cheaper. So in order for me, when I was county exec, to avoid raising fares and cutting routes, what that meant was I had to pull in local revenue from other also important local services. To make this worse, the state doesn't allow local government the option to, say, raise a sales tax. It is not currently legal for us to do that. And we're capped on property tax, and frankly, property taxes are really high anyway. Sales tax in Wisconsin are some of the lowest in the country. Our property taxes are about fifth highest. But as I've been pointing out, absent any change, it won't matter what the politics are, who the personality, or anything about who is in my office or the office of any of the supervisors at the county. We're going to see really, really drastic cuts. We've basically pulled about every lever you can to be efficient.
But as you say, there's still a lot of challenges that are facing this next county executive. To you, what are the biggest issues that are going to come up, you know, immediately?
Sure. Well, the biggest one, just in terms of operating the county and doing anything, any of the services we do, is funding. When I say that every year for 9 years I had to start a budget by cutting on average about $25 million, that's cumulative. So I've had to make, I think it's $288 million worth of cuts. Not a single one of those was because I wanted to do it. It's because we just have less to work with. So it makes it for very tough decisions. Those cuts, that gap is projected to continue to grow. So 5 years from now, I think it's the policy forum projected that the gap just that year would be $79 million. So that would be cutting the entire Parks Department and the aging Department on Aging. And probably more, and that's just for that year, and then you'd have a cut the next year. I mean, this is a cumulative problem until about 2037. It gets a little better, but it's still horrible. So the only solution is for the state to give us a bit more, or let us keep a bit more of what we send, or give us a tool to, you know, raise some more revenue here. And one of the things I've been advocating for, along with the Greater Milwaukee Committee, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the nonprofit community, the advocacy community, and the business community, right and left, is a change in state law that would allow Milwaukee to raise its sales tax and take some portion of that to lower property taxes. So, you know, first, this isn't just about raising taxes. Your property taxes would go down and then allow municipalities within the county to use that revenue to essentially close our gap. And the appeal of this as an idea is that sales tax in Milwaukee County, about 20% at least of sales tax revenue comes from people who don't live here. It's the people who come visit, usually to visit the Marcus Center, the Pfizer Forum, you know, any of the incredible arts groups we have. But entities that were created and paid for by Milwaukee County being enjoyed for outsiders. So the idea that, hey, some of that sales tax revenue is being paid by people who are enjoying things that we are providing doesn't seem unreasonable. But that would generate a total of about $160 million a year. And if you take a big chunk of that and lower property taxes, it means housing values, your housing value when your taxes go down, your appraisal, the value of your home either goes up or at least doesn't shrink. Plus, you're paying less. So you've got more equity and you're paying less every year in property tax, which means you've got more to spend. So there's sort of a virtuous circle there. But what it also means is, you know, I just led this by saying Milwaukee County is giving the state $500 million more than we were 10 years ago. And we've been able to grow that fast in spite of having to cut every single year. And this isn't just the county, it's the city too. So if we were able to grow by half a billion a year in the face of a Niagara Falls of fiscal challenges, imagine how much faster we could grow if instead of starting every year by having to decide which really important service am I going to cut, we could start by saying, hey, where's a really important value I could invest in? without having to raise your taxes to do it because it would be a recurring revenue source. You know, to say that that would be a different situation is a huge understatement. That swing in revenue for the whole Milwaukee metro area would probably be the most significantly positive development in at least half a century. The good news is there are a lot of people in Madison, legislators on both sides, who are hearing us, and they understand we've shown them these numbers. You know, I tell them, hey, these aren't my numbers. These are State Department of Revenue. You know, I'm not making it up. These are your numbers. And I'm not blaming anyone. I have zero interest in a fight or an argument or whose fault it is. I want a solution. But there's also, for anybody who's an import like I am to Milwaukee, you know, I'll tell anyone I'm the most unapologetically proud Milwaukeean you're ever going to find. This is home. But one thing I've always been baffled by is this strange decision the states, or many in the state, seem to have made that it's Milwaukee versus the rest of the state, as opposed to more like a partnership. Because if we work together, both the state and Milwaukee benefit enormously. I mean, we are the economic engine of the state. And but that's something where I think we're making some progress.
Well, and as you say, you're looking for solutions here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, when I sat down with other reporters, other producers, one of the big questions that we all had were, what are some of the solutions? Transit is something that you mentioned, of course.
Right.
And we're facing a lot of issues there.
Huge. Yeah.
Largely because of budget.
Yep.
What do you see as some transit solutions?
Transit, just so the public understands, in any government anywhere in the world, transit is always subsidized. The return isn't just the fares that people pay on the bus. The return to an economy is people who are getting to jobs, people are getting to school so they can get qualified for a job, people getting to their doctor's appointment so they can stay healthy and stay at work. I mean, if you have to think of it in terms of just numbers, though I think it's a moral imperative too. But as I said, the state provides us less for transit funding than they did, you know, 10 years ago. And in that same 10 years, we, your listeners, are sending the state $500 million more. So one way of thinking about it is if we were merely sending the state $400 million more, you're welcome, state, that would mean $100 million a year more without raising anyone's taxes. To not just not cut routes, but to think about expanding routes. The second biggest challenge, you know, and I think the biggest moral challenge that Milwaukee County and the city faces are racial inequality. Racial inequality is by far the biggest issue we face. I don't think there's a close second even. And as I said, I moved here 25 years ago, and I saw when I got here, and I've since seen more of the racial disparities, and it's not just graduation rates, incarceration rates, access to capital, access to housing, employment rates. It's things that sometimes people don't think of, like you call 911, how long does it take for an ambulance to get to you? How long does it take the ambulance to then get to, you know, the hospital, and what's your outcome? Are you getting the best care you could? I mean, almost every category you can think of, there are big disparities. And this is the single largest challenge we have, I think the most important one we have to solve. And for whoever's next in this office, county exec, and frankly, running for any office in Milwaukee, if the top priority for them isn't racial equality, they shouldn't be running.
So I'm going to you answered this a little bit about what you see as kind of your future in mm-hmm. politics. I know you're involved in leadership, MKE, mm-hmm. but do you imagine yourself running for office in the future, or do you see yourself more still involved in politics, as you say, but not in a political office?
In terms of political office myself, when I ran 10 years ago, I said regularly, you know, I'm not doing this as a career. You know, I have other, you know, I never stopped doing philanthropy. I never stopped serving on boards. I have a venture fund that's investing in women and minority-owned companies. I've been doing that the whole time. And, you know, I can still do that. I didn't run, you know, to just think, okay, this is the first step, and then what's the next step for me, and the next step for me. I ran because I care about government. I care about where I live, and I wanted to make a difference. And the reason I decided to step down is a number of things. I think it's never healthy when anybody is in a certain office, however well-intended, for decades. It's hard to keep your perspective. It's hard to keep the same kind of energy. And I think it's healthy for any community to have just new faces and new ideas. It had been, 9 years, so coming up on a decade. Things are fiscally in much better shape than they were 9 years ago. I used to call the budget then the Titanic meets the Hindenburg, but worse. We still have challenges, but believe it or not, it's a lot better than it was. And we've got an incredible team of really talented people who are going to and leaders who are going to make whoever comes in next look really good. And I did it on purpose with enough time so enough people could consider, hey, do I want to run? And but I have no pressing need. As I said a while ago, I think if I did, I'd probably run, if I ran for anything, as an independent. And I'd quickly follow that by saying, it's not because I've changed my opinion on any of the issues that I'm passionate about. Socially, I'm pretty liberal. That's pretty apparent. Fiscally, I want to make sure I'm not making government more expensive to anybody than it has to be. I want to be a good steward of your money. But what has been frustrating is to watch what already was hyper-partisanship 10 years ago just get worse. And it is so difficult to address really important issues that Republican or Democrat, we all want a solution, not just a fight. It's gotten so hard to actually talk about the meat of the issue for long before everything devolves into red team versus blue team. And, you know, I've got three kids, three beautiful girls. And when they start focusing on who they don't like as opposed to what they're for, that's when, mom and dad have a chat and talk about being respectful and solution-oriented. And in government, that's our responsibility. And I think if you're an independent, at least you have a little bit longer when you have an idea to have people listen to what you're saying in terms of the merits of the idea and not form an opinion based on just whose idea is it. But again, I have nothing imminent.
Well, Chris Abley, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Chris Abley is the Milwaukee County Executive. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. After 9 years in office, Abley is not seeking re-election. You can hear our full conversation with him at WUWM.com.